Spirit.
Amen.
Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine, after guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. I want to thank Gary and Carol for giving us this opportunity to celebrate with them their 50th wedding anniversary as a community, as a church. Just as they, as a couple, are a covenantal people, we, as a church, also a covenantal people. Let me, at the outset, briefly explain the difference between covenant and contract. They are basically the same, yet they are very different. In a covenantal relationship, the parties trust each other without requiring proof or evidence. Whereas in a contractual relationship, parties agree to be in relationship with each other based on a signed agreement. Christian marriage is a covenant, not a contract. Belonging to church, like marriage, is belonging to a covenantal community. It's a group of people coming together to worship God in faith, in hope, and in love, as we read in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. For a marriage to be successful, it needs to have faith in each other, hope for each other, and love between each other. Are you familiar with the two stories in the Bible about creation? The first chapter of Genesis and the second chapter of Genesis. There are two different accounts. In the second creation story, we read in Genesis, seeing man's aloneness, God says, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a fitting helper for him. This is probably the only utterance of God, the first utterance of God, that immediately after saying something, something didn't happen. Like in all the other creation thing, Jesus, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be dry land, and there was dry land. But in this case, God said, I will make a fitting partner for man. According to Jewish scholar Aviva Sonberg, this is the first statement uttered by God in creation. Narrative that does not immediately bring something into being. It gives us a window into God's thoughts. Rather than acting directly on that thought, God creates animals and brings them before Adam for him to name them. And he brings the animals in pairs before Adam to name them. Then the story says, among them there was not found a helper as his partner. Among all the creatures that God created, and then, you know, before they were displayed before Adam, and among them he did not find a partner. Adam was the only one who stood vertically. Among all the creatures of God, only Adam was the only one who stood vertically, upright, among all creatures who creep, who slither, who swarm horizontally upon the earth. Created in the image of God, man was great among all the created beings, but he was alone. In his greatness, in his aloneness, and in his verticality, he has no known equivalent other. For Adam to find his equivalent other, Jewish scholar Zornberg writes, Adam must, in a sense, diminish himself. He falls horizontally upon the earth, as if in a divine anesthesia. And then you know what happened. Eve appears. When Adam woke from his sleep, he saw Eve. The other day, I came across this thing on my WhatsApp. I thought it was funny. Do you all know that what is the difference between the words completed and the word finished? The difference between the word completed and finished. You know, no dictionary could give an adequate, satisfactory answer to that. And it took a person whose primary language was not English to come up with an answer. He said, when you marry the right woman, you are complete. And if you marry the wrong woman, you are finished. And when the right woman catches you with the wrong woman, you are completely finished. Gary, you found your right woman. You found your Eve in Carol over many moons ago. And the rest is history. Now, 50 years later, with 5 children, Meredith, Stephanie, Andrew, Paul, and John, and 7 grandchildren, Gary, Seamus, Finn, Patrick, Brooks, Nathan, and Patrick, and Elizabeth, who is going to have her birthday, the first birthday on the All Saints Sunday in 2 weeks. Gary and Carol are still enjoying that fine wine blessed by the Lord so many years ago. But Gary and Carol may ask, what wine? There was no wine at our wedding. You know, Gary grew up in a Methodist home, and his parents were complete teetotalers, and there was no wine at their wedding. But they are enjoying fine wine now. The other day, I had an occasion to sit with Gary to talk about the secret and success and the longevity of their marriage. And Gary said, it was shared values, it was commitment and communication. Shared values, commitment and communication. There's a lot of give and take in all these things. These are the ingredients of a covenantal relationship. Walter Brueggemann, my favorite Old Testament theologian, says, pastoral care is an invitation to transform relations of bargaining or quid pro quo or contractual relations into covenantal relationship. He also says, covenant means living always amid dangerous curses and marvelous blessings. And that is where humanness happens, at the disposal of the other. Covenanted people always live at the brink of blessing, where the break of surprise and gift is about to come. Faith means to place ourselves in that vortex where life is granted, received, and risked. Now let us imagine ourselves renewing our own covenantal relationship with our spouses, with our partners, with our loved ones, and with our faith community. We don't have to wait 50 years to do that. Like we take our cars for servicing every once in a while. Like we take ourselves for physical checkup almost every year, right? Do we have a regular checkup for a spiritual checkup of our lives? Our relationship to church, do we do that? Do we still have that same twinkle you had in your eyes when you went on your first date? That is drinking that fine wine even after many, many years. Right now, some of us may be going through a dry period in our life. Do we feel like our jar of wine getting empty? Our marriage kind of running on empty gas? And do you want to get it refilled to the brim with new wine, blessed by God to be superior in quality and abundance in quantity? How do we tend our relationship? Do we say to our spouses and partners, spouses in the making, we love them regularly? This was something that Susan and I didn't do, because we don't do that in India. We kind of take it for granted, you know. We don't say it. And we didn't say it to our children either. Then one day our children told us, hey, how come you don't say I love you? That is the first time it dawned on us. Yeah, it is good to say it, and so that your partner can hear it, your spouse can hear it, your children can hear it, each other, your parents can hear it. Say it out loud. And let us not take it for granted. Yeah, I think, you know, this is also very true of saying the Nicene Creed or the confession or the prayers of the people or the liturgical prayer. Every Sunday it is the same, isn't it? But we say it. But maybe we can shorten the service by cutting all that and say that, well, this is a time for Nicene Creed, this is a time for confession, but we can just skip over all those things. And the other thing is, we can completely skip over coming to church. Completely. And we know that the church is there and other people are praying and doing the Eucharist and all that. So we can ride on that. So we don't need to be there. We can be there for our baptism or our marriage, funeral, or for Christmas and Easter, completely skipping the whole thing. How does God feel when his loved ones not coming to church, not saying that we love God, and God still continue to love us, and we don't express that? We need to do that, friends. We need to find time to come to church and not other things to do. Other things are not that important, not as important as coming to church and renewing our commitment, our dedication to church. And this is important for our married life as well. And then we complain that our society is getting very secular and people don't go to church, and Muslims are buying our churches to worship because they are worshiping, and so they need a place and they buy churches where our people are not worshiping. Is that any surprise? No. This church has been here for 179 years. If you don't have this church in this place, our community will fail, because our imprint in this community is so big, so large, and we need to have this church here to continue to feed the people in this place. Not just physical food, but also the spiritual food. We come together every Sunday to be spiritually fed. And during the week, we feed the community. It's kind of like inhaling and exhaling. We inhale on Sunday morning here, the breath of God, then exhale that during the week in the community. But you need to have inhaling to exhale. Think about doing all the wonderful things in the community and not coming to church on Sunday. You know, for a cross to complete, you need to have that vertical relationship with God, which we do on Sunday expressly. And then on other days, we do it horizontally in the community. For the cross to complete, we need to have the vertical relationship and the horizontal relationship. And this can be happening only if we continue to commit ourselves to coming to God in Christ by coming to church, being with each other. You know, other people, when they don't see people next to you, they wonder, where is the, you know, where are they today? And we wonder lately, so many people are missing in church and they don't come. And we wonder what happened. Because we care. We do care for, you know, people in our church. And so when you don't come, you are denying the other people your presence. We are together. We are one only because of the other. And so let us make this opportunity that we are renewing, Gary and Carol renewing their wedding vows, their marriage vows. Let us renew our own commitment to God and to each other. Amen.